Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fart, the fight of the money hour, the midweek edition of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you. 844-326-3663. That's the number to the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you would like to be on the show with me and Lonzo, you can text us 71307. The text line opens. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N, to 71307. We'll read them on the air. You can use the Ray Memorial text line. That one's easy to do. Go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the little heart button. That way, when you open the Odyssey app, it'll take you right to the Fan Upstate's page. On the middle of that page, you're going to see two buttons. One says listen live. You click that button, guess what happens? That's right, you listen live 24/7, 365. The other button is a little circle with a microphone on the inside of it. You click on that little circle with the microphone. It's going to allow you to leave a 60-second voice note that comes directly to the great one and I that we can listen to and replay for you whenever we want to make you part of the show. It's the Ray Memorial Hotline, available only on the Fan Upstate page on the Odyssey app. So grab it and bring it. Let's get to, I wanted to get to this earlier in the show. We'll get to it now. Why not? The Bears lose to the Commanders 18-15. Your final score, Jaden Daniels heels in. Ave Maria! Touchdown to wrap up the contest. There was some interesting ones, some interesting things about that. The first one and the most obvious one was the fact that the Chicago Bears, Tyrique Stevenson, defensive back, was caught on a video taunting Commanders fans. Now, I've watched the video a few times. I assume at this point, 1,000 times. Mainly because it's absolute friggin' comedy gold is what it is, at least in my opinion. In fact, if you're not watching the stream, go watch the stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. I'll actually show you my favorite fan angle video that's been shown so far. Here, tis. You will see as the play is getting set up. Tyrique Stevenson is down in the left-hand corner. Of course, why wouldn't it need to reload when I just watched it? Tyrique Stevenson's down in the corner. And
he's that blur right over there.
Yeah, he's when it starts, he's over in this area. Tyrique Stevenson, well, I'll bring it back up here in just a second. Tyrique Stevenson is down in the corner. And down in the corner, Tyrique Stevenson is absolutely jack-jawing with a bunch of Commanders fans. He is, he's pointing at him. He's doing that little cool guy hop, you know, where you're like, oh, I just dunked on you, just threw down on you, son. It's pretty funny. Here's that video. So you'll see him. He's down here in this left corner. And my favorite part about it is, here's the snap. The ball's live. My man is facing with his back to the play and, like, doing the hands up thing and hitting the real, like, cool guy gangsta pose, all right? Gives the OD. And then he turns around. He's like, oh, the play is being run. There are wide receivers coming at me. In fact, my second favorite part of this video, aside from him posing like a dork, is if you look down at the bottom of the screen, you'll see a bunch of Bears fans that are like Turn around! For the love of football, God, turn around! They're all pointed back. He finally does turn around and realizes, oh, the play's being run. So he does get back into the play, but one thing that you will notice as Jaden Daniels heaves the ball 65 yards down to the end zone is that he's the one that comes into the frame from left to right. He's the one that actually ends up tipping the ball backwards. Lonzo, you're a safety. It's an Ave Maria to the end zone for the tutty. The rule is what?
Knock it down.
Knock it down!
What are you doing, bro?
Instead, he goes up with his hand turned upward like he's a waiter carrying a tray. The ball gets popped back to Noah Brown. Tutty Washington, they walk him off. All right. Now, I bring that up not to just repeatedly dunk on Tyreek Stevenson, although, yes, that's not good. That's not good at all. But he wasn't the only one that had a problem. You'll notice something else if you watch that play, and that's something else you notice is that the Bears had a linebacker spying on Jaden Daniels. I will repeat that for the lulz. On a Hail Mary, where the Washington Commanders...
Wait, Rob. He's really fast, okay? He's really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
He might have run that ball.
Mm-hmm.
He could have run all that way.
I am going to say, if you're in a spot where a rookie quarterback takes it 65 through the house, through a prevent defense where 7 of your 11 guys are in the end zone, you deserve to lose every game. Every game, forever.
Which would have been a better result? What actually happened, or if he had ran?
If he runs at him, it's the funniest thing that's ever happened. But no quarterback in that position, except Will Howard, has ever decided, I'm going to run the ball here. Because if you decide to run the ball there, your ass is benched.
Why you got to come at me like that again? That hurts, man. It hurts.
Did it happen or did it not?
Get down.
It's a real bad look. Here's the point. Point here is you can't win if your team's not a disciplined football team. I don't care if you're in the NFL, college, high school, middle school, junior varsity, peewee, elementary school, or Madden.
Are you going back in my day when teams were disciplined?
No, not at all. Not at all. This has nothing to do with how football was operated
back
when I was playing football.
Back in my day, back in the year 2000, people paid attention to plays.
Anything you do, work, school, relationship, health, anything you do, if you do not attack it with structure and discipline, you will fail. That is an unfortunate reality of life, all right? I am as go with the flow as anybody else. I don't make plans because plans never work. I feel like I have a concept of a plan.
That really does describe you. You definitely don't.
Look,
no, you don't.
Here, let me tell you how this works. Let me tell this how this works. 2 o'clock today, there's an announcement by the Greenville Triumph at Bridgeway Center. 2 o'clock, I've been invited out. Got to go, right? You know what my plan of attack for this event is? Be there at 2 o'clock.
I was going to say to not double book.
Yeah, be there at 2 o'clock. All right, that's it. That's my plan.
Oh, man, I got a thing to do. Oh, no. That thing?
The structure of the plan for me is just make sure I'm there. Now, after that, I don't really make plans because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the announcement is. I don't know who's going to be there and available. What happens if I make this big plan about I'm going to do this, and then Ronaldinho walks in? Now, obviously, the plan's going to hell. What happens if I get there and John Harkes is there? What happens if I get there and Rick Wright says, hey, man, I want to talk to you about how this directly impacts the game, and I made all these other plans and interviews and whatnot. I don't do that. I basically make plans if it is something that can only be accomplished. I got a plan today, 10:30 a.m. I'm going to be setting up a live stream, and we're going to interview Marty Smith from ESPN. We'll play that interview back for you tomorrow. Really excited about that. My plan, however, is interview Marty Smith at 10:30.
Glad we got those technical problems out of the way.
Yeah, you and me both, bud. I was stressed for a minute there. My plan is interview Marty at 10:30. Do I have questions scripted out for Marty? No, I don't. You want to know why? Because that's not how conversation works. And I interview via conversation, not be, here's my next question. It's not my style. Now, for some people, that's their style. It's not my style. My style is I'm going to ask him a question, and then based on what he says and how he says it, I'll either ask him the next question I had in my brain, or I'll flip it and go, oh, you just said this thing, and I'm more interested in that than what I was going to ask you. Let's go there.
Yeah, if you watch our interviews, you'll see one of us hold their hand up because the follow-up just popped into your head.
Yep.
And you want to make sure you jump in there and get that.
Yep, that's 100% correct. I don't make plans. However, I am also very much aware that you got to have at least a concept of a plan, all right? You got to. You got to know at least the rough outline. You got to know that if you're in a prevent defense and you're the safety over the top, standing at the goal line, the last line of defense to prevent them from securing a miracle walk-off win, you should, Zoe, be looking at the quarterback. You know, the guy with the football. Maybe look at the guy who's going to throw the football. That seems like a concept.
That's probably
of a plan.
A good move, you know, because that's what everyone else was doing.
Yeah. You should probably do that, not be jack-jawing with the fans, who, by the way, do you think the fans that he was pointing at, the fans that he was giving the shush to, the fans that he was telling settle down, the fans that he turned and mean-mugged, you think they had a word or 27,000 for him when the game was over? You're damn right they did. That's fun.
They were successful in their endeavor.
Lack.
They distracted him. Then he went over and did a bonehead play, and then they won.
Lack of discipline will get you killed. All right? It'll get you destroyed. It will ruin your hopes, your dreams, your goals, your ambitions, your life. I mean it. I'm not even being dramatic. I am very serious about that.
Sounded pretty dramatic.
It's very serious. Having a lack of a plan, depending on the severity of the situation and the importance of the situation with which you are talking about, it can get you killed. All right? I think there's plenty of lessons throughout humanity of someone who went into something not knowing what they were doing and without a plan who ended up dead. It's not a joke. Haha, funny. Sure, to say it the way I'm saying it because it's very exaggerated, but I'm also right. You got to have a plan. This is another example of a team that has exactly and precisely zero reasons to have lost that game, but they did, and I blame it all on Eberflus. I blame it all on the coaching, because if you have created a football team, which with a score up but only one score up, and the chance to lose a football contest if you are undisciplined and get away from the plan of the Ave Maria prevention defense, bad things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. I'm not the only one who says that, all right? Here is a legendary Hall of Fame kicker Robbie Gould's thoughts on what happened in this game.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. I just had a nightmare of a realization during the break. When we were in the last segment, and I said, "Oh, you know, it's about discipline and people who lack discipline." You said, "Are you about to go full boomer?" In the back in my day
That's not
discussion.
What I said, because you're a different generation, and I wouldn't mislabel your generation. I just said you were old. The boomer thing, that was like two generations ago, right?
No, it was one before me.
If people who still say boomer do not understand that those people mostly are probably dead.
They're not dead. Boomers are probably in their like 50s and 60s. Nuh-uh. You're a boomer, bud.
No, I'm not. I'm Gen X. We've had this discussion before. I am Gen X.
Let's see. Baby boomers, often shortened to boomers, are the demographic preceded by the silent generation, followed by Gen X. The generation often decide people born from 46 to 64. Okay, so you're like, you're on the cusp.
Not on the cusp. I'm Gen X, dude. Not even. No.
All right, whatever. Point is, it's a phrase, and I like it, and it makes me laugh.
Well, just don't put that phrase in my mouth, because I don't say that phrase. That's all I'm saying.
So, Lonzo said, are you about to go full old man back in my day? And the answer is no, I was not. Not for that. I am about to do it right now, though, because I just made a horrific realization about what's going to happen. And I'm calling this shot now. Do you remember, so we're the baseball guys last night, the two fans that grabbed Mookie Betts' glove and tried to wrestle the ball, successfully wrestled the ball away from him, although it was...
Yankee heroes.
Yes. Yankee jerks. Yankee buttholes. Those guys, for sure. I don't mean Yankee like Yankees people from the north. I mean specifically these two buttholes. These two buttholes. Do you remember the name Steve Bartman? Does that name ring a bell for you?
Yeah.
Okay. It should. For everybody who was alive in the mid-90s, Steve Bartman, of course, a Cubs fan, was at a World Series game, foul ball hit, kind of the same as was last night. Bartman, who did not reach over the fence, by the way, Bartman caught a baseball flying towards him. Bartman took a ball away from one of the Chicago Cubs defenders that likely would have recorded it out and moved the Cubbies closer to at least competing for a World Series championship. Do you remember what happened with Steve Bartman after that happened? The dude got run.
I was going to say, yeah, his name is still invoked to this day. The fact that you remember his name, and what year did you say that was?
Oh, God, 96? 96, I think. Somewhere in that ballpark. Doesn't matter. Whenever it was. 2003. Okay, I'm losing my mind. 2003. Steve Bartman, after that happened, Cubs fans started shouting insults and throwing debris at Bartman. Now, it was a different case in that had Bartman not caught the ball and the ball would have been caught over on the first base line, Moises Alou, who was the, I think he was the third baseman there, Moises Alou would have likely caught that ball, recorded an out. They would have moved on. Instead, what happened was Alex Gonzalez mishandled a ground ball that would have been an inning-ending double play. The Cubs allowed 8 runs in that inning, and they lost that game 8-3. They would also go on to lose Game 7 at Wrigley Field the following day and be eliminated by the Marlins. This was in the NL playoffs, in the NLCS. So, Steve Bartman got publicly shamed, not just by Cubs fans. You'll remember that Steve Bartman had to leave Wrigley Field because he was being assaulted by Cubs fans. And when I say assaulted, I mean definition of the crime, insulted by Cubs fans. He had to be walked out of the stadium, and basically, Steve Bartman had to go into hiding after that. Had to witness protection program after that. Well, Bartman ultimately, years down the line, Steve Bartman was ultimately forgiven. Moises Alou was quoted 5 years later as saying, quote, you know what the funny thing is? I wouldn't have caught it anyway. End quote. He was quoted by the AP as saying that. Steve Bartman, years down the line, after the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, Steve Bartman was apologized to by the Cubs. They honored him, blah, 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 blah. They basically tried to make it right. But at that point, Steve Bartman had become, as Lonzo just pointed out, a household name, certainly amongst baseball fans. Why? Because this country, now I am going to go full boomer, this country, we used to publicly shame people who deserve to be publicly shamed. We used to get after people who screwed things up for the rest of us. Now we celebrate them. Here's what I mean. I'm going to make a prediction, Lonzo. Here's my prediction. By the end of this day, we are all going to know the name of the two absolute jackasses who did what they did in that game last night. By the end of this day, by the end of this week, these two clowns are going to be on the podcast circuit. They're going to be making the rounds on Podcast Around America. And, hey, what were you thinking? And it'll be under the guise of, let's ask them questions. By the end of this month, by the end, by the end of November, I'll make a prediction right now, Zoe. By the end of November, these two guys have a nationally distributed baseball podcast and are making more money per episode than I make in a year. You want to take me up on that? I bet you by the end of November, these two guys have a picked up.
All right. I found an article, and one of them talked to ESPN. And
him or his brother? Because the one I saw earlier, they talked to the guy's brother.
Copa Bianco, a 38-year-old season ticket holder from Connecticut, broke his silence, telling ESPN, and while he knew he would immediately be in trouble for his actions, he and his friend had gamed out a similar scenario in the past. So unless I'm reading about the wrong thing, and I'm not.
No, you're not. That's right.
Here's what his quote. "We always joked about the ball in our area," Copa Bianco told the sports outlet at a local bar after the game. "We're not going to go out of our way to attack. If it's in our area, we're going to D up." So they already planned.
Damn it. That's funny. God.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I told you, these guys are heroes, man.
I don't want it to be funny. I want to hate these guys, and that's hilarious. My man said, "We're going to D up on Mookie Betts." That's funny. Crap.
He further says, "I know when I'm in the wrong, and as soon as I did it, I was like, boys, I'm out of here."
Yep.
Capone told you, adding, "I patrol that wall, and they know that."
Son of a... Oh, man. I want to be mad, but it's... The dude's going to turn out to be funny as hell. Watch.
Yeah.
He's going to turn out to be so funny. He's going to turn out to be unironically hilarious. This dude, by the end of next month, is going to have a podcast that is nationally distributed by one of the big companies. And this dude, by the end of the month, is going to be making more money in an episode than I make in a year. Watch. Oh, and it's going to suck because he's going to be hilarious. Damn it. I want to be so mad at this guy. But he said, if it comes near the wall, we're going to D up. That doesn't make it better. That's still a jackass move, but like, it's, God, that's funny.
I'm not surprised. This is what I expected. So, I mean, especially, and looking at the guys, you know these guys, this is what they're talking about. Oh, yeah, if it comes up in here, I'm going to do this. And then they did it.
Oh, I don't like this at all. I don't like this at all. This is painful. So,
oh, there's audio out there somewhere. Now I want to hear what he sounds like.
Oh, you know what he sounds like, bro.
Exactly. And he's from Connecticut.
Listen,
and
I'm on a wall, all right? And I done told the boys that thing comes over here, I'm getting wide, set the center of gravity, drive through their legs, D up. Hey, Mookie. You're schmuck. Hey, Mookie, come over here. Let's see what happens when you come into section 115, huh? I dare you to try to catch a ball of it. See what happens to you, huh? Let's see what happens to you. This, you know what this case is going to be? As somebody who goes there like once or twice a year, I'm going to tell you right now. New York City is full of people that on the outside surface looking in, they all seem like absolute buttholes. But if you ever talk to New Yorkers, they're the funniest large group of people you've ever been around. They're hysterical. As long as you understand that they're jokes. They're blunt, but they're jokes. This dude's going to turn out to be a riot, and he's going to make more money in a day than I make in a year. This is painful.
I hope there are a bunch of D-up signs tonight for the game.
I'll tell you what's going to happen right now. There's going to be a lot of security around the wall tonight. A lot of security around the wall tonight, boys. I told the boys, we're going to D-up, huh? All right, we got to take a break. We come back. Last segment's next. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Hock to it.
Man, that sucks.
I'm going to read you a couple of texts because the Armada's heating up the text line. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Texter said that guy's going to end up working with the Hawk Tua girl. Can I tell you, let me keep it a buck. I have not listened to a single episode of Talk Tua, which I'm not going to lie, is the best podcast name I've ever heard. That's absolutely brilliant. From what I understand, that chick, Haley, whatever her name is, apparently she's super legit. Like, she's taking all the money she's earning from the Talk to a podcast and, like, bought her grandma a house, is opening and funding no-kill animal shelters around her community. Like, she apparently is a pretty cool chick. So I'm going to give her props for that.
So this has nothing to do with Tua Tagovailoa?
No.
Okay.
The Hawk Tua girl started a podcast named Talk Tua, and she just has guests on and talks about stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty brilliant. Pretty brilliant. Another texter said, Rob, there's a fantastic monologue in season 2 of The Bear that involves the Steve Bartman story. That's from Bobby. Appreciate it, Bobby. I'm going to have to watch The Bear. I've heard great things about this show. And now there's Bartman monologues. I'm all in. But here are the texts that jumped off the text line at me. One texter wrote in, Lonzo, with instructions, advice on how to get the stripes in your lawn. Where'd that text go? Let me pull that text back up. Texter wrote in and said, Rob, real style mower, top dress your lawn, mow different directions each mow. I've been in lawn care since 1998. Good luck. O-H-Z-O and A-E-Dub. Have a great day, boys. Awesome. Gotta love that.
Yeah, awesome text. By the way, and that's the thing. You just got to change your patterns over and over again, and you're going to get that crisscross. And it's pretty sweet.
What does top dress your lawn mean?
That is, that's out of my pay grade.
Like, I assumed that, like, on one pass you go that way, and then another pass you go that way, and then at the end you do the same thing, but you do diagonals if you want the diamond look. Yeah. I assume that, but I don't know what top dress your lawn
is. Here's
means.
What I do. I think that has to do with fertilizer and stuff. I'm just
probably.
Yeah, yeah. I look at the pattern that I went across last week. This week I'm going to go the opposite direction.
Texter said, Rob, that's the most action out of any Yankee in the series so far. Good text, John Dog. Good text. They did put up 11 runs last night, though. Granted, they did it against the worst Dodgers on the roster and the guys that the Dodgers threw, because the Dodgers have decided they were going to save all the arsenal up for tonight, which is why the Dodgers are, and I looked it up during the break, -150 on the money line, and I'm still taking that bet.
According to the Home Depot, top dressing is a process of adding a thin layer of nutrient-rich compost to your lawn or parts of your lawn that need extra attention. When performed routinely and with aeration, the soil will improve and your turf will benefit.
Okay. There you go. I'm also going to say, I don't really have like that expensive lush grass. You know what I mean? I got that we live out in the woods grass. I don't have that nice lush grass that you want to walk around with no shoes on your feet. You know what I mean? I got country grass. We live out in the sticks
grass.
Well,
you ain't got country feet, or it won't matter what kind of grass. You just go out there in it.
No, you know what I mean. When I say walk around with no shoes on, I mean that kind of grass that you look at and you want to walk around because it feels like you're going to be walking on a cloud made of grass.
I think it's more about you're not worried about sticks and things underneath that grass. But I do understand what you're saying.
I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But you know that grass that you look at and you go, I would lay down and take a nap on that grass.
I have walked upon but never owned such grass.
Tell you how this pumpkin carving, not competition, party went for me last night. We got in the car and left the party at 8:15 p.m. Not got to the party. I left the party at 8:15. And on the ride home, I told the wife, I'm like, I think I know what our next big purchase should be. And she said, what? And I said, I think we should put some nice grass down. And I wasn't joking. I was being very serious. I'm like, we should get some nice Bermuda, right? That real thick, lush stuff. And we should do the whole yard so that we can just go be out in the yard. I'm also digging a fire pit. As a matter of fact, I finished my fire pit tonight. All right, so now I want to match it with some lush grass.
Well, I'm glad you waited till it's going to be 80 degrees outside again to do that.
Nah, I need it ready for when it gets cold. Right?
I know. I need it ready for when it gets cold.
In fact, already got the plans for this Saturday. Even if it's not cold outside Saturday night, I got plans for the fellas to come over and watch a little A&M South Carolina out in the fire pit in the backyard.
Well, I mean, come on. It's going to be cooler at night. It'd probably be like in the 50s, so that's perfect weather for that. Not too cold, just right.
Texter said, I had a Jose Bautista home run coming right at me once. I could hear it almost whistling towards me, so I moved out of the way and then got roasted on SportsCenter that night. Texter, I don't want to be mean. You deserved it.
No.
You deserve it.
Here's the thing.
Make a play.
You can solve this problem just by bringing your glove with you.
Just bring your glove with you.
Then you put that in front of you. You brace it and you catch that ball. That's how you do that.
You reach your hand up. You dig down deep. You find the spirit of a champion and you grab the baseball. How many people in your life have had the opportunity to snag a major league dong out of the air? The answer is you're the only person I know that had that opportunity. And instead of seizing the moment, carpe diem, and grabbing a rock and becoming immortalized in the eyeballs of all of your bros, instead you're the dude who got cooked by Linda Cohn on SportsCenter that night.
Don't risk your digits going after something that's coming really fast. I mean, let it hit your chest and then catch it.
No. You put your hand up. You reach back, you find the spirit of the ancestors, you find whatever warrior culture you come from, you call upon your forefather's strength and constitution, and you grab that thing, and you become an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you got cooked
by Linda Cohn. Or you realize that the velocity is less than what it was when it came off the end of the bat. And if it's on an angle of descent, it's definitely slowed down even further. So if you time it right and you make your hand go down as contact is made, you're going to lessen the impact.
Catch the ball. You can go through whatever
physics.
Go through whatever algebraic or trigonometric equations you want to. Catch the damn ball. Come on, Texter. You're in the Armada. All right, I expect greatness from the Armada. Texas said, Rob, I watched a girl get knocked in the head by a pop fly at the drive game. That was hilarious.
Why didn't you jump in front of that ball, dude?
Well, I mean, seeing it happen doesn't mean you were in the vicinity to make the play.
All right,
you
know what I mean? All right, that's a good point.
I've been in the 100-ish major league ball games I've been to over the course of my life. I have been in the same section as a catchable ball one time, I was nowhere near it. I watched the ball get caught. And by the way, it did get caught, but I was nowhere near it. It was heartbreaking.
If you are an adult and you're at a baseball game, pay attention. I mean, if a kid gets hit, it's horrible, but you can see them not paying attention. If you're an adult and you're there, pay attention, especially if you're sitting in a place where there's a chance there's a ball going to come your way.
You know, one of the reasons that baseball is baseball and college football are the two sports that I don't really have to be like, I don't really have to like talk the wife into going, right? I'm like, yo, I got tickets to go see a baseball. We're going to the drive tonight. Thursday. We're going to the drive tonight. She's usually like, yeah, for sure. Okay. I love some baseball. Or if I go, hey, I got tickets to go see, you know, Furman play tonight. I got tickets to go see South Carolina play tonight. I got tickets to, well, she absolutely will not go to Clemson. She's like, Zoe, she refuses to step foot on campus.
Good for her. Yeah.
You know, if I get college football tickets to any other program, she's all in. The reason why, and football, by the way, NFL football, pardon me. The reason why is because those sports allow you to both enjoy some sports, but also, you know, have some conversation, enjoy, chat, talk it up, drink a beer, eat a dog, whatever.
He means a hot dog. In case you're just tuning in, he's not talking about eating an actual dog.
The dogs. They're eating. All right. It's still, I don't care. It's fun. That's hilarious to me. That's objectively hilarious.
Unless you're the dog that's being eaten, then it's not funny at
all,
Rob.
Objectively, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
Heartless.
Is hilarious. Objectively hilarious.
How dare you?
Putting that aside, It's, you know, there's a little bit of a social element. I'll say this, and I tell this all the time to my baseball buddies. You better watch every damn pitch. You better watch every pitch. Because while I will absolutely say, stick your hand up there, reach down, summon the spirit of William Wallace and catch the damn baseball, Greg. I will also say, if you're not paying attention and that thing knocks you on the noggin, it's going to be the last thing you remember from that baseball game, bud.
Or maybe you don't. You may lose a day or two getting hit in the head with
said, I watched a girl get KO'd by a foul ball at a drive game, and it was hilarious. Come on, man.
They were being sarcastic. I guarantee it.
I don't think they were. I don't guarantee that at all. At all. Rob said, texter said, Rob, if a safety tips the ball up, the rest of the defense needs to know that receivers can be tackled. That is also it. Yes, once the ball's tipped up in the air, it's free game. The other thing I would say is, if you see the ball get tipped up and there was a receiver anywhere near you, Kurt Angle slam them immediately.
Run through their face.
Yeah. Samoan drop to the turf, man. Do something. Do literally anything but what Chicago did, for God's sakes.
Pat the ball down. All right, time for What the X, where I ask Rob what the X is going on, and he will regale all of us with his wonderful social media knowledge. First thing that's Xing is Terry Garr.
Is what now?
Terry Garr.
I all right, so passed away.
Yes.
I know she was in Young Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what else she was famous
Mr.
for.
Mr. Mom. She's
like the OG Mr. Mom?
Yeah. The one with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And a bunch of stuff like that. Back in, I guess it would be mid to late 80s, she was in a ton of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That checks out. I know her from Young Frankenstein. And part of the reason why is
she was one of the best parts of that movie.
Oh, for sure. One of my favorite things, if you've never done this before, is to, and you can find them, I think there's a couple on YouTube. If not, it's worth it to buy the old DVDs. If you can ever find a Mel Brooks movie with Mel Brooks commentary about the movie, it's the greatest thing you'll ever watch. And I've actually seen the director's cut, the Mel Brooks commentary edition of Young Frankenstein. And every time he talks about Terry Garr, it is fawning over how amazing she was. Unfortunately, I'm not super familiar with Terry Garr, but I'll probably spend some time today looking into some of her stuff.
By the way, it's Frankenstein. the next thing that's Xing is Adam Copeland.
Adam Copeland trending. I do not know why. Adam Copeland is trending.
It's a special day.
Is it Edge's birthday today too?
Yes.
All right, there you go. There you go. Edge just did an interview.
How old do you think he is?
Oh, he's got to be 53.
51.
I was going to say 52. That would have been better. I believe he just did an interview with my former friend Brandon Walker, which I got to go check out.
I'm sure that's awkward.
Yeah, I mean, not really.
No, that's his style. Everything's awkward.
Gotcha. Okay, you mean the interview.
Yeah. I wasn't being critical. I like the style.
No, I got big time by Brandon Walker, and I make sure he knows it now.
I know.
My former friend.
I know.
Yeah.
And you should. All right.
I got big
time. The next thing that's Xing is Henry Winkler.
The Fonz! Hey! Is it his birthday, too?
It is.
Happy birthday to the Fonz. Was the Fonz, like, the original cool guy character on TV?
All right, for me, yeah, because I was, like, 7 or 8 when that came out, and that was watch every Tuesday, I think, is when it came on.
Like, before Happy Days. All right, and I'm not a TV historian. I just know what I used to watch at Nick at Night when I was a kid, and my mom had the remote. All right? Before Happy Days, it felt like every show was like, here's wholesome American goodness where nobody's too cool, but nobody's not cool,
yeah,
right?
Leave it to Beaver.
Yeah,
stuff like
Andy
that.
Griffith show. And again, all those shows
sons.
Are great.
Yeah.
All those shows are great. But it was just always like, here's ideal Americana in front of your face. And then the Fonz showed up in the leather jacket and the cool hair with the Jerry curl, hitting the jukebox to get the song playing. Hey! And all of a sudden it was like, all right, that guy's pretty cool, right? Was that the first TV, not music, not movies at all, but like TV character that was like, hey, that guy's cool. I want to be like that guy.
I think so. At least it was for me because, again, that was right around the time when
also, my favorite thing now is that Henry Winkler, as he has aged, all his TV characters now are like nothing like the Fonz, and he's the best. He's the best. His also, role in Parks and Rec is one of my favorite recurring roles.
Also a big-time Chiefs fan, and it was pretty cool to see Rich Eisen set up a meeting between he and Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, I did see that. That was pretty rad.
All right, the next thing that's excellent is Shawn Michaels.
HBK. Is it his birthday as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because we're running out of time, he's X-ing because of last night and how good it was.
I've heard last night's AEW was spectacular. You know what we should do is talk about that tomorrow at 9:20 for Fight Club with the great Melonzo.
Well, if you actually watch it, it would help.
I will. I'm catching up tonight. That in the World Series. Tomorrow on the show, we got Lulu Kesson to the Greenville News to talk South Carolina Gamecocks. Rashad Beard to the Panther Nation podcast to talk Carolina Panthers. Hayden asked Mario from the BetQL Network to talk NFL. Fight Club Alonzo. And somewhere in there is my interview with Marty Smith from ESPN. All of that tomorrow. Have a great day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.